Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to hear from your word, open our minds to understand you. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24 from verse 36. Actually, I'll read from verse 34. The two companions from Emmaus were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he, Jesus, had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." For the gospel of our Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please have a seat. Well, it's great to be with you again. We continue in Luke 24. A couple of weeks ago we had the women going to the tomb. Last week we had the two on the road to Emmaus. And this time Jesus appears to all of his disciples at once. But why does he appear to all of his disciples at once? If you remember last week, we saw how Jesus at first doesn't reveal himself to the two disciples as they go to Emmaus. You know, their eyes are kept from seeing that it was him. And he does that in order to help them understand first the scriptures, how they pointed to him. And then he reveals himself after that. He wants them to trust in God's word that would always be with them and not in this momentary experience that they have with him physically there. The word would always be with them. Jesus could not always be with them. He would soon have to go to be and ascend to the Father. So why does Jesus, in the evening of this day, why does he reveal himself to his disciples all at once? Why doesn't he take them first through the scriptures? If you read through Luke, this kind of, it's odd. In one instance in Emmaus, he waits, but here he just appears and they're startled and frightened. What is Jesus trying to tell us this time round? What is he trying to teach the disciples? Well, to do that, let's first consider the disciples and their reaction, and then we'll consider Jesus and why he does what he does. Well, the disciples are hearing about what's happened on this road to Emmaus. They're talking about Jesus, and suddenly he appears. One moment he's not there, and the next moment he is. And it's John's gospel that tells us that the doors were locked. Locked because the disciples are afraid of what the Romans might do to them or what the Jews might do. And yet here, Jesus turns up. They've just been talking about Jesus. The two have just been sharing how he's opened up the scriptures to them, how their hearts burned as they understood the word. And note how the disciples do not react. They don't say, "Oh, Jesus, it's so good to see you," do they? It's odd. They've just been talking about him. They know that he can appear. They know he can do wonderful things. They know he's appeared to the women, or the women have seen the empty tomb, rather. He's appeared to the two on Emmaus. But when he appears to them, they're not excited. They're terrified. And they think they're seeing some ghost or some sort of spiritual manifestation. Something that Jesus knows exactly how they feel as this comes through in verse 38 and the question that he asks them. But why would the disciples be afraid? Why would they be afraid? The Jesus they thought was dead is alive. He is there right in front of them. You'd think they'd be ecstatic, they'd be overjoyed, they'd be sort of whoops of joy knowing that Jesus is there, he's victorious. But when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," it kind of has the opposite effect, doesn't it? And they're terrified. It's strange. The disciples, in a way, they don't quite get that Jesus is risen. They're saying he is risen, but they don't quite understand what they are saying. They still fear and doubt. They still do not yet believe. Have you ever said something that you don't quite understand? My wife often reminds me that I say things that don't make sense. My kids point this out to me when they're listening. My brothers did this very helpfully once when I was younger at the dinner table. I said, stop eating with your mouth full. And they were very quick to, with their mouth full, reply and tell me, "Did you realise what you just said?" Yeah. We often say things we don't fully understand. I think the disciples are like this. They're saying, he's risen, but there's a missing piece. There's something, the equation doesn't add up quite for them. We often say Jesus is risen or other things like that, but do we understand how wonderful that is and what that means? Well, Jesus encourages the disciples here to use their brains and think through the evidence of himself that is standing before them, and see what he does. He speaks. Well, first he appears. That's one bit of evidence. They can see him. Then he speaks. They can hear him. Then he invites them to touch his hands and his feet, to physical touch. He's not an apparition. He's not a ghost of some sort. You can't touch those. Saying, but you can touch something that is physically there. And notice how when he asks them the question, he expects them to believe. Verse 38 is fascinating. It's kind of a rebuke. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? In a way, it's as if he's saying, how can you think that I'm a spiritual manifestation or that I'm a ghost? Look at my hands and my feet. I want you to look at me, look at me. I'm here. I'm really here. It's me. Touch me and see. Touch me and believe. Now, I wonder if you've ever had the experience of realizing slowly that somebody does love you. Maybe this was with your now wife or your now husband. You slowly realize that they love you. Or it slowly dawns upon you that you are loved. I think the disciples, it's slowly dawning upon them the truth of Jesus' physical resurrection. And just to make the point even more, Jesus then asks them for something to eat. Now, I don't think Jesus actually needed food. He's got his resurrection body, a body that will never perish, never die, never grow weak, never tire, never need sleep, because a resurrected body is one that is fit for God's eternal kingdom. I don't think Jesus needs any food to be refreshed or for sustenance, but I think he asks them for food because he wants to help the disciples understand. They're very slow. Help them understand that he is there in front of them. And so he asks them, for quite casually it seems, have you got anything to eat? And they give him a piece of fish. And I can just imagine that as he's eating, the disciples are just gaping at him. I mean, I'm sure you were taught when you were younger by your parents, don't stare at people when they eat. Were you ever taught that? Yeah, you don't stare at someone when they're eating, whether they're eating well or badly. You don't do that. But what does it say? It says they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He ate it before them. They were watching him eat. Forget manners. I think this is an invitation from Jesus to say, look at me, I'm eating, I'm here, I'm real. And I can just imagine Jesus saying, have you got any sauce for this fish, or have you got any chips? Anyway, it's a very normal thing to do, to eat, isn't it, when you're with others? And he is eating fish to help them understand. Now, what is the meaning of all this? Why does Jesus appear all of a sudden and go through this, it's not a charade, but go through this sort of look at me, touch me, hear me? Why does he go through all of that? Well, clearly he wants them to know that he is real, very, very real, physically so. He has risen. He has got a resurrected body. He has defeated and conquered death. He is victorious. And his presence there with them shows them that he has done everything that he had said he would do. And before us, and in other books of the New Testament, we have this eyewitness account that Jesus came back from the dead. His resurrection was a physical one. And we must hold to the physical resurrection, because there are some today who would teach that Jesus did not rise physically. They'll say, oh yes, Jesus was resurrected, but it was a spiritual resurrection in the minds of the disciples. I don't know, have you ever come across anybody who says that Jesus didn't physically rise, but it's the disciples' understanding that went through a form of resurrection, or they gained a new insight? Have you ever heard anything like that? Well, I'm kind of glad that you haven't. But just be ready to hear it one day from someone. It would be from a false teacher, because the scriptures do not teach that Jesus was spiritual or was a ghost or something. But there is, I have met them, there are teachers out there who say that Jesus did not physically rise, which goes against everything that Jesus is doing in this passage, let alone elsewhere. They themselves do not believe that a resurrection is possible, and they wrongly teach others that God's word doesn't really say that Jesus physically rose. It's just the disciples had a new understanding. Their understanding was resurrected. That's clearly not what's going on today. Their understanding really was slow. They were slow to understand, and they did eventually get it. But it was when they saw the physically, bodily risen Lord in front of them. And if Jesus did not physically rise, if he did not, then we are to be pitied. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says from 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, physically raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Try and follow his argument. If there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Do you see what Paul is saying? He's saying if Christ has not physically been raised from the dead, then our faith is futile. We have no hope. We are still in our sins. We have no future hope of a resurrected body because Christ has not been raised from the dead. But that's not the case. Christ has been raised from the dead. And that's exactly what Paul's point is. He has been raised. There is no doubt about it. Jesus physically rose from the dead. And the meaning of this, Jesus explains in sort of from verses 44 to 49. Just before that, the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead shows us that when we place our trust in him, we too will be raised from the dead in time. What we have here in Jesus rising from the dead is a anticipation of that final glorious day when we will be raised with him for all of us who have put our trust in him. This is a wonderful resurrection hope. So the aches and the pains, your bad eyesight or hearing or whatever illnesses you may have, you'll be free of those when you have a resurrected body. But you only get a resurrected body if your trust is in the Lord Jesus. Now, with Jesus rising from the dead, there are other implications, other things that come as a consequence of his rising. I don't know if you know anyone else who has risen from the dead. I don't, except for Jesus. And if he has risen from the dead, and we have historical evidence that he has, then we ought to listen to him. There is no one else quite like him who's been able to conquer death. And Jesus says to his disciples in verse 44, after he's laboured the point that he's physically there, he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus expected them to trust God's word that clearly pointed to him, to his death, and to his resurrection. Do we listen to and believe what Jesus has to say about God's word, which in this instance he's speaking about the Old Testament? Do we understand that the Old Testament points to him? If we say, "Yes, I understand that the Old Testament points to him," would you be able to explain to somebody how, for example, the book of Ezekiel or the book of Judges or Jeremiah or Micah, would you be able to explain to somebody how do those books point to Jesus? Well, there's a challenge and an opportunity for you, isn't there? Ezekiel is a wonderful book. It is difficult to understand because it's a different culture, a different time, very different circumstances. But with good guides, it is possible to see how the promises in Ezekiel point to the Lord Jesus. Have a look at an Old Testament book. See how it points to Jesus. And as you do, ask Jesus to help you understand. I mean, in verse 45, it's Jesus who, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. There's a wonderful little prayer for you. "Lord Jesus, help me to understand your scriptures, how the scriptures point to you." Amen. There's wonderful opportunity waiting for you to grow in your understanding and love of God. And if you need a guide, I might be able to point you in the right direction or provide another guide for you, be it in the form of a book or somebody who knows more about it than I do. So listen to the one who has risen from the dead. and ask this one to help you understand how his word points to him. Another part of the consequence of Jesus having risen from the dead is that this one who has risen has a message to proclaim. What is it we're told? Verse 46. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And so the message that we have to call people to come to God is one that includes who Jesus is, that he had to suffer on the cross and rise again, that includes repentance, saying sorry to God for how you have rebelled against him. And when you do, you receive his forgiveness for your sins. Now, this isn't popular because nobody likes to hear about their sin. But actually, it's healthy that we do hear about our sin and take sin seriously, that we consider how we have offended against God and need his forgiveness. And God is willing to forgive, which is just amazing. And we proclaim this message in his name to all nations. And for the disciples then, it was to begin from Jerusalem. And what's wonderful about this is that he goes on to encourage them further. He says, wait here until my Father sends you what he has promised, this power from on high that they're to be clothed with, which we know is the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity at work, isn't it? The Father who sent his Son, the Son who's died for your sins and risen again and given you new life. And then he goes back to the Father and he sends his Holy Spirit down to you, for you, to help you understand his word, to help you have, to empower you to take his message out. There's much to rejoice about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. He has physically risen. Without him rising, we would be to be pitied. But he has risen. And he's called us to listen to him, to act upon him, to declare his name, and to go out in his name with the power of his Spirit. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for providing us with everything that we need to be reconciled to you and also to go out and proclaim repentance and forgiveness in the name of your Son. Lord, grant us confidence in you and assurance of a future resurrection body that we will gain when we are raised on that last day. But Lord, till then, help us to persevere by the power of your Spirit and look forward to that day. We ask this to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.